greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. Glad to be back for this final affirmative of tonight, denial rather. And you have seen, and I've seen again, him do exactly what I told you he would do. He's tried to affirm with the scriptures absolutely and positively, do not say. Let me tell you that I do not believe that only a human died. I've already stated that to him. So don't talk to me about false assumptions. Don't talk to me about misrepresenting your position. I told you in my first presentation that I believe that God died in his human existence. He said the same thing. God died in the incarnation. Well, that's the same thing that we're saying. The difference between him and I is it's the same God of the Old Testament that we read about. And our position, his position is it's one we've never read about under the Old Testament coming. In other words, a God that we never knew anything about, a God the Son, came in the New Testament that you read absolutely nothing about in the Old Testament, outside of prophetical, and he quotes Psalms 53, which was a prophecy that Isaiah 53, which was a prophecy that I've already told you the Son was prophesied to come, which it is just astounding to me that we don't see Father and Son interaction under the Old Testament. So we've got God the Father and God the Son under the Old Testament, co-eternal persons, and absolutely no interaction between them until the New Testament. Then all of a sudden they begin to speak up. And you would talk to me about absurdities. Now, he told me about double talk. He tells me that I'm double talking, and then he turns around and tells us there's three divine minds in the Godhead, but there's still just one God. And you're going to talk to me about double talk. And then he accuses me of being heretical. Well, you have put me in pretty good company tonight, Mr. Reese, because Paul said, after the way, which they call hearsay, so worship I the God of my fathers. Whenever a Jew says the fathers, he's referring to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs. Who was Paul's God? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. And so Paul was saying that during his day, there were some people that were saying that it is heretical to worship Jesus Christ as the one God of the Old Testament. So you're putting me in pretty good company, Mr. Reeves. I appreciate that. Now, he says that we need to accept what the Scriptures say. I could not agree more. And the Scriptures say God is one. And it never says God is three. So if I'm going to accept what the Scriptures say, you need to accept what they don't say. Because that's your favorite argument, is that we speak where the Scriptures speak, and we're silent where the Scriptures are silent, and yet the Scriptures are definitely silent on there being three persons in the Godhead. So it sounds good, you just need to learn how to apply it, sir. Now, then, he talks about the Jews today reject Jesus Christ. I know that. I know they reject him as their Messiah. I know that they missed the day of their visitation. You saw my debate with Matt Slick. You know that I said that already. And by the way, we know that about your being all on evidential faith and listening to the James White debate and all that. We know everything that you've been doing. But I'm just telling you that we know, we're well aware that the Jews rejected Christ. But let's look at Isaiah 35, ladies and gentlemen. Isaiah 35. Prophesied that the Jews' God would come. Your God will come, and then shall the lame leap, and then shall the deaf ears be unstopped. When did that happen? Not when a second divine member of the Godhead who has his own mind apart from other two members that have their own mind, but presto, there's still just one God, ladies and gentlemen. Not when that happened, no. But when the Jews' God came, the one Old Testament God that we read about in the Old Testament. He said that I have denied what Scripture says, and yet I gave you seven verses, and I can give you many more, where it says that the flesh suffered. The man gave himself. He's saying you got dead deity. I'm giving you what the Bible says, and I'm the one denying the Scriptures. Well, what Scriptures are we reading? Then, he says that the Son came as a voluntary thing. So Mr. Reeves raises up one verse in the Bible against another verse in the Bible where Jesus himself said, I came not of my own self, but he ordered me. What did we hear about that? Not one single thing. Silent as a tomb, ladies and gentlemen. And so he raises up one verse against another. And I like his interpretation. It's very interesting to me. Isaiah 53, he has God crushing God. Because he has God the Father with his own divine mind, God the Son with his own divine mind. And so God the Father was crushing God the Son, so God crushed God. And you're going to talk to me about absurdities. And then he says that it was the incarnate deity that died. Well, we believe that Jesus is the one Old Testament God that come in the flesh. We believe that God died in His human existence. But He wasn't a second God, but He was the mighty God, the eternal Father, Isaiah 9 and 6. He talked about the right hand of God. Well, what's interesting is he defines God as three divine persons and then says Jesus is on the right hand of God who is three divine persons. So now he's putting Jesus outside of the Godhead. Does God literally have a right hand? Absolutely not. No more than God actually has blood. Jesus said God is spirit and the spirit does not have flesh as you see that, listen, I have. So then he talked about isos in Philippians chapter 2. I've explained it one time, but I guess I'll have to go back and gladly do it again. Isos here is, again, in the neuter plural. Here's the deal. It's well known among so-called Church of Christ that they are, and I'm not being ugly, I'm not trying to, but they are terribly lacking in Greek exegesis and in hermeneutics. That is well known across the board. I gave him equal, was isos, by the way, it's not isos, Mr. Reeves, it's isos. I gave him isos, Bowers, Greek English Lexicon, we'll try this again, page 381, says equal in number, or size or quality. Then, listen, he references Acts 11 and 17 as being when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of, on Cornelius' house. And Acts 11, 17, Peter is rehearsing it to his Jewish brethren. And he says that God, who was I that I could withstand God, who gave them the same gift, isos. It wasn't a different gift. It was the same gift, the identical gift. And that's the same word used in Philippians chapter 2. So this is a reference to, and I mentioned to him, morphe. We'll try this one again too. Morphe is, again, Bauer's Greek English lexicon, the outward appearance of a bodily form, not pre-existence, which we could not emulate, by the way. The whole context of Philippians chapter 2 is let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that Messiah, who being is in the present active participle, being in the form, external visions of God, thought it not equality to be equal with God. This is talking about the incarnation of the one God. There is not one thing mentioned there about Father or Son or persons. He has to supply that because you won't find it in the text itself. Now, he said, I would not be in this position for all the tea in China. Because I'm going to tell you something. He ridiculed the indwelling. He said, well, Mr. Perkins believes that God was just inhabiting a body, that God was just in. Well, you can ridicule it all day long, sir. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Now, he can quote stuff up here from the UPC. Did I quote that out of the Church of Christ or the Word of God? That's the Word of God. So you can ridicule it all day long. Don't talk to me about ridiculing stuff when you're denying what the Scripture said. For the Father that dwells in me, He does the works. The Father was dwelling in. Is this the first omnipresent person dwelling in the second omnipresent person? And so I don't know what we're going to do with the third omnipresent person. He can't ever play no reindeer games. So, the husband and wife. I like what he said about submission. Now, I ought to have a little fun with him here and have him stand and answer me. Mr. Reeves, you've done this in your last two debates on oneness with oneness people. And they didn't bring it to your attention. No doubt they picked it up, but they didn't. You talked about, whenever I brought up the prayers of Christ, how that He has God the Son being co-equal, praying to God the Father, who is co-equal divinity. Each have their own mind. Each is not the same as the other. So there's a radical separation in the Godhead. And he brought up this, he hedged up this argument about a husband and a wife. And he said that a wife is submissive to her husband. And he used that as an analogy of how the Son is submissive to the Father. Mr. Reeves, do you believe the Father, God the Father and God the Son are as radically separated as two human beings? Would you answer me? Would you shake your head? Would you look this way? Silent as a tomb, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the analogy doesn't fit, does it, Mr. Reeves? You believe God the Father, that's the reference that you reference, come out of your mouth, that God the Father, God the Son rather, is as submissive as a wife is to her husband. So now we've got God the Son and God the Father as radically separated as two human beings, yet we've still got one God, ladies and gentlemen. And you're going to talk to me about absurdities. Now, he talks about the human nature as being distinct. Well, I gave you scripture where it says that God does not sleep, God does not grow weary, yet Jesus did grow weary, and Jesus did sleep. So if I'm just taking what the Bible says. He says, I'm denying the Bible. I'm giving you what the scripture says. And then he comes up here and says, I'm denying the Bible. Mr. Reeves, assertions are not evidence. You are only assuming what you have failed to demonstrate. There is a distinction. I don't know of a scholar alive that doesn't believe there's a distinction in Jesus Christ. There is the human, not my will, but thy will be done. There is a distinction between the humanity and the deity of Christ. The Bible said that he grew in wisdom. Now you told us he was omniscient. Is omniscient deity growing in wisdom? Was there something God didn't know? And you're telling me there's not a distinction? There is a distinction in Jesus Christ. You can ridicule it all day long. Now, he says to take what the Bible says. And he says again that I'm denying the Bible. Well, let's take what the Bible says. Have I been so long time with you, Philip, yet you still don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Will you take what the Bible says, Mr. Reeves? Will you take it? Isaiah 9 and 6 prophesied that Jesus would be the eternal Father. Will you take that, Mr. Reed? You won't take it, and you know you won't. John 1 and 1, he says, I'm trying to dodge that. Well, let's see if I'm trying to dodge that. And oh, here we go with Pross. Pross and the accusative case. You debate one, you've debated them all. He brings up the word was with God. Pross and the accusative. Pross is a preposition that is denoting the action of the verb. And he talks about how that pros, and I can't remember, I don't want to misrepresent him, but I know that A.T. Robertson is real big on saying that the pros here in the accusative denotes where it says God was with God, or rather God, the Logos, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. They're saying there that the Word was face-to-face with God. God was face to face with God. And they use that because of pros in the accusative case. But let's take a look at pros in the accusative case that he has hedged up, and let's see if it really demands face to face. The greatest interpreter of 1 John, or rather of John 1 and 1, would be John himself. And so we go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. It's describing the same event, ladies and gentlemen. And it's written by the same apostle, inspired by the same Holy Spirit. And John says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Now he defines here what was from the beginning. As what we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the Word of life. And we declare to you that eternal life was with, pros in the accusative case, Mr. Reeves, with the Father. The same apostle clearly defines the Word here as that which was from the beginning, as what they heard, what they saw with their eyes, what their hands touched. Is this pre-existent invisible deity? Did they touch pre-existent invisible deity? Did they literally see invisible deity? No. Was his humanity involved in it? Absolutely. What they saw, what they handled, and what they heard was the man Christ Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. Not a second divine person missing entirely from the pages of the Scripture. Then John says, watch this, that eternal life was with pros. The same pros that he hedged up in John 1 and 1, of the Gospel of John, rather, chapter 1, verse 1, is right here by the same apostle, written by the same Holy Spirit, uses the same pros in the accusative. Mr. Reeves, do you believe that life has a literal face? Will you say that life has a literal face? You know good and well you won't. Why not? It's the same apostle. It's the same event. It's the same preposition. It's the same accusative case that you put up here on your chart. Now, will you be consistent and say that life has a face? You know good and well you won't. Don't talk to me about hedging and dodging, playing dodgeball whenever I'm addressing your issues. Now, I could go on and on with his... And by the way, before I forget, let me deal with this argument that Luke 23:46. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've told you ad nauseum that we do not believe that only a human died. You know, I would be scared to death to be in Mr. Reeves' position tonight. Where in the world are we coming to when we call the blood of Jesus Christ only a human?
I'm going to tell you, He was not only a human, He was the only sinless human being that ever died. I said this already. That ever died, that was ever buried, then vindicated Himself by rising from the dead. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Galatians 1:1 said that God the Father raised Him from the dead. Yet Jesus in John 2:19 said, destroy this temple in 3 days. I will raise it up because the Father indwelt the Son. That's why. And it was not one divine person, one divine mind indwelling a second divine mind. Now, He says that in Luke 23:46, He says that we have an absurd conclusion that because I say that it was the human spirit that was commending to Him. Well, you can ridicule it all day long. Jesus said He had a human spirit. He said He had a human soul. I've got several verses right here, if I can find my notes. Here it is. You can look, ladies and gentlemen, at John 11:33. Go ahead and put this down in y'all's little notebook. John 11:33. John 13:21. Luke 23:46. You can look at Strong's number 4151. And then you can look at Strong's number 5590 that makes a distinction between Jesus' spirit and His soul. Jesus says in Matthew 26:38, in Mark 14:34, John 12:27, Acts 2:31, it says that He had a human soul, and it teaches that He had a human spirit. So He can ridicule the Word of God. Or are you telling me, Mr. Reeves, that Jesus Christ was not a full man? Now you got up here and you're the one who said that He has to represent each part. Well, does He represent us, Mr. Reeves? Mr. Reeves, does He represent us? Would you shake your head yes or no? You know good and well He represents us. You said that. Do we have a human spirit, Mr. Reeves? In order to possess it, ladies and gentlemen, in order to redeem it, rather, He had to possess it. And He redeemed us, He redeemed our spirit, He redeemed our soul, and He possessed a human spirit. And you have a full man, and you have a full God. The Bible teaches this, so I don't see how He's going to talk to me about what about not obeying what the Bible says. Now, He dealt with, He keeps mentioning over and over and over, distinct divinity. Now, ladies and gentlemen, and I want this to sink in to your minds tonight. Distinct. He has defined distinct as not the same as the other. God the Father has His own mind. He is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. God the Son has His own mind. The one is not the other. He is omnipresent, possesses all the omnis. God the Holy Spirit possesses all the omnis. Yet the one is not the same as the other. And then you're going to talk to me about believing what the Bible says? Show me that in the Scriptures, Mr. Reed. You signed to affirm the Scriptures. We're waiting for that from the Scriptures. And we won't see it. Now, as I try to hurry along here tonight, it is an educational principle. And I knew He would do this. I knew that He would go to the Old, to the New Testament, rather. Ladies and gentlemen, how much have we heard from the Old Testament? Not hardly. Turkey boo. You know why? Because you can't go to the Old Testament and prove that there were three distinct persons. And you'll never find the Son under the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen, outside of prophetically. Do you realize what this means? This means that if the Jews did not accept, and by the way, I know they rejected the Messiah, but we were discussing tonight whether or not God exists as three distinct divine persons, not whether or not they rejected the Messiah. I know that. He took the position tonight that the Old Testament prophets did understand that God existed as three divine persons. I'll say again, when did the Jews lose that revelation? The Jews have never believed in three divine persons. Do you realize what that means? That means that even though Isaiah wrote about Him, we really can't trust what Isaiah said because Isaiah did not understand his God to exist as three divine persons. Moses knew God face to face, but poor Moses, he's out of the loop. He didn't understand God to exist as three divine persons. So now I guess Moses is lost because he had a misunderstanding of the identity of God. If that's the case, what's he doing on the Mount of Transfiguration? Then you look at Zephaniah. You look at all these old... David, man after God's own heart. Sorry, David. You're out of the loop. You didn't understand God to exist as three divine persons. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that all of God's covenant people, all the way up to the New Testament, misunderstood the true identity of their God. Yet there were many of them knew God face to face. Abraham was the friend of God. The Jews, again, have never understood God to exist as three divine persons. And Jesus said the Jews know what they worship. We have the Word of God against the Word of Bruce Reed. I'm going to take the Word of God that you have the Word of Bruce Reed. So, in the final analysis tonight, the Bible never calls Jesus God the man. Now, he, and I don't want to misrepresent him. He has said tonight he does not believe the humanity of Jesus Christ is divine, and I accept that. That's fine. But it seems to me that is the implication of his doctrine here, because he waffles back and forth and tells me that I'm guilty of double talk. He says that God died in the incarnation, which is God becoming flesh, but then he turns right around and says that we have that God died, God himself died. So which is it? Did God die in his humanity, or did God die in his deity? And if you have dead deity, ladies and gentlemen, and yes, when you and I die, sure enough, we do not teach annihilationism. We're not annihilated whenever we die, when you and I die. But we're talking about God as deity here. You cannot take what is attributed to you and I and then take it and pawn it off on God, as, who is an omnipresent, invisible spirit that cannot be killed by human hands. And that's why he was manifest in the flesh, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So he came not as a second divine person, but as the mighty God, the one Old Testament God. So, final analysis, and I'm just going to close her down here. I will leave you with, well, let me say this too, before I forget. In Romans chapter 9, Jesus is called God over all. Does this mean that Jesus is God over all except for two other persons in the Godhead? I'm going to tell you tonight that if Jesus Christ is not God over all, then Jesus Christ is not God at all. And how can he be the Lord of Lords when he's really just the second of three divine members in the Godhead? And he has that deity die. And then in Luke 23:46, whenever the Spirit was coming, he says that Spirit was divine. So for 3 days and three nights, Jesus wasn't God. Now, in closing here tonight, I will close with this scripture. The Bible says, and there's so much more that I could say. I would ask you tonight, Mr. Reeves, was Jesus pulling the wool over our eyes when he said, I am the first and the last, and he was really the second? How can, again, the Old Testament covenant people of God, and I cannot believe what my ears heard when he said that the Old Testament Jewish prophets worshiped God and understood God to exist as three divine. Did we see anything on that? Did we see anything from the Old Testament on that? We haven't seen not one thing on that. You can't just make up your own Bible, Mr. Reed, like Thomas Jefferson did. You have to give some of your own stuff. And we didn't see nothing from the Old Testament. And you won't see it from the Old Testament because it doesn't exist, ladies and gentlemen. So I will leave you tonight with this statement. The first divine individual did not order, and I gave you the grammatical facts, did not order the second divine individual to come while he enjoyed the tranquility of heaven. He himself came. And that's why he could say, he that has seen me has seen the Father. We can laugh at Merv Griffin, but I tell you what, Merv Griffin had a very good point. Imagine three divine persons in the Godhead. God the Father says, I love them so much. Get down there. Jesus said, I came not of myself, but he sent me. Now, I will leave you tonight in closing with this confession. In Christ dwells all the fullness. Let it sink in. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. How in the world are you going to fit three divine members into that verse? In Christ dwells all the fullness. I'll close with this. In 2005, archaeologists unveiled the most ancient church site to date in Israel. You can go online, just type in Megiddo Church and this will come up. It was pre-Constantine era. What's interesting is there was a mosaic on the tile that dedicated this building to the God, Jesus Christ. Curiously, there was no mention of divine persons from the infant church. May you come to know this one God and the power of His one Spirit. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you.